he was found not guilty.
Yes.
Abdul, how are you? I can't hear you for some reasons. I can hear you now. Yeah.
I said I'm good.
It's good to have you, Abdul. How are you today?
Fine.
All right. We'll be getting to hear Abdul's story in a moment. But let me start with you, Joker. This is what Celsa has been doing. Oh, first and foremost, let's know what Celsa does. Because me, I know. That's why I say this is what Celsa is doing. So tell my listener out there, what does Celsa do?
Okay, so CELSA is an acronym for Center for Legal Support and Inmate Rehabilitation,
right,
which is actually a non-governmental organization that provides pro bono services for indigent inmates and victims of human rights violations, and most importantly, that provides rehabilitation support for inmates from when they are in prison to when they are out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually added most importantly because I feel there is need to actually start talking more about rehabilitation and not just legal representation. So we have to start going beyond legal representation. Mm-hmm. You know, just like what you said initially when you started, we have thousands of persons in prison and over 45 persons on awaiting trial.
So we can't 45,000.
Over 45,000, sorry. Right. Over 45,000 on awaiting trial. So what that means is we can underestimate the need for legal representation, but we can also not underestimate the need for rehabilitation.
That's right.
So that's like what CELSA is into, basically advocating for inmate rehabilitation. Just the same way we put so much energy into legal representation, we also have to put that same energy into rehabilitation.
Rehabilitating inmates.
Yes. And when we wanted to start CELSA, we did quite a number of research. We tried speaking with inmates. We tried speaking with, aside the fact that I've been a criminal defense lawyer, which I've had opportunity to represent inmates, over 100 of them.
Right.
And I understand to some extent what happens in that sphere, to some extent, from my conversations with them. And so we spoke with we went to the prisons, we asked questions, and we got to know that there is a 65% rate of recidivism. What that means is that when you release 10 persons, for example, over six persons come back to the prison. And I started asking questions, really. What's the causes for all of all these things?
What do you mean come back to the prisons?
Reoffend. What I mean is they arrest them for reoffending.
After being released by the court.
After being released by the court.
10 of them. Let's use 10.
10, yes.
Yeah.
Let's use 10.
Out of every 10 that the court frees.
Yes. So you have like over 6 coming back to the prison. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So they will commit this offense again. They will commit
I don't want to use they'll commit the offense. I would just say they arrest them for reoffending. Because you can't say, if you say they commit the offense again, that is you convicted them already, even before the court declaring them to be guilty.
Okay.
So I would say they get arrested again for reoffending. And I'm like, if there's that high rate of recidivism, then why are we not paying so much attention to rehabilitation? Why are we emphasizing on decongestion? Why are we emphasizing on legal representation? Like I said earlier, it's actually very important. It's important. Legal representation is 100% important. Decongestion, advocacy for decongestion is 100% important. But rehabilitation is also 100% important. Because when these people come out of the prison, they get stigmatized. They don't want to know, I have Abdul here spent 7 years on awaiting trial. That's just like, I've seen people who spent 10, 15 years on awaiting trial. So this person
just
waiting for guilty or not guilty. Just waiting for either conviction or a discharge and acquittal. You know, so they are there in the prison for 10 years. And then we fight for justice for them. We speak all the grammars in court and they are released. And so when they are released, we just let them go afterwards. I just feel that we are actually not looking deep into the problem. We're just trying to do some surface thing. We're not going deep down. So I started telling myself, we need to start doing so much about rehabilitation. You know, there are instances where I get to represent a client, and then the client calls back after release now, calls back and tells me, please, can you just send me money? I don't have food to eat. So I've had cases where I have to send money. We handle their matter pro bono. And then you still have to, and like, they have to be able to stand on themselves. They have to be able to live a productive lifestyle after they're out of the prison. And that starts from working with them while they are in prison.
That's right.
And that involves identifying those things that are actually beneficial to them. Right. So at CELSA, we've been able to identify quite a number of things, starting from education. A lot of persons actually do not know that they actually go to school in prison. Many persons don't know the right exam. They write WAHEC in prison. They write JAMB in prison. They are students of National Open University in prison. So instead of you tagging them just criminals, can you give advantage? Can you consider those that took, that I call it defying all odds? You know, I can remember while in university,
yeah,
we have the food, we have the convenient bed,
right,
we have all the time to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then we still find it challenging to even be able to put ourselves together to study. So how much more somebody who is in an environment where
That's
you
right.
don't have your freedom, you don't have food, good food to eat, you don't have good place to sleep, and you are telling yourself that you still want to study. Like, I just feel that the least we can do for them is to give them that support. So at CELSA, like last year, we were able to provide a virtual tutorial classes for
okay.
those who are writing GC in prison. So what we did basically was we reached out to tutors, people
okay.
who understood what we were doing
okay.
and they were ready to partner with us.
Right.
So we reached out to them, and then we got people who were ready to teach them math, physics, you know, identify the major key
subjects.
And so on the other side in the prison, we got them laptop, we got them modems, we got them things they needed to connect to the internet. So
okay.
they were practically teaching them via Zoom. That became important because of COVID.
COVID was
yeah,
there.
COVID
yeah.
was on.
COVID,
and
COVID
then
was
there was
there.
Those that persons who were volunteering in the prison prior to that time
right.
couldn't come in to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one thing I also need to point out is this. Unlike the regular school that we have outside, where
yeah.
you have SS1, SS2, SS3,
mm-hmm.
you don't have SS1, SS2, SS3.
You can't have those.
You
those
only write exams.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is May, June, every May, June, they write exams.
Yeah.
How do these guys actually prepare for these exams?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel if they can really set up themselves, set up their mind, defy their challenges and want to toe that line, let
yeah.
us give them all the assistance. So we did that. And then we also, in November, we provided them with tables to write the GCE because
yeah.
we discovered that they had some challenges. So
right.
they were actually going to write the exams on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make
mm-hmm.
tables available for them. And then they got chairs from the chapel in prison. And so that was settled. And presently, we are working on a Donate a Book campaign.
Yeah.
So the Donate a Book campaign is basically reaching out to people to send us their old books. Send us old books. If you're nice enough to give us new books, we are so excited about that. And if you have old books, you have students who are no longer, children who are no longer students of the university,
right.
who are no longer students of the secondary school,
right.
give us their books. And so we hope to put them all together and set up their library in a way that anybody that wants to study there
yeah.
can at least get...
Have something to read. Have something to study.
Have something to study.
That's right.
Yes. And we're going into vocational trainings as well. And,
mm.
you know, Section 14 of the Correctional Service Act already
yeah.
provided for rehabilitation.
Mm.
And it is clear as to what they really need to be able to get this inmate rehabilitated.
Mm.
So we've identified those things. And at every point, we are thinking, what can we... We don't want to go to the surface. We just don't want... We want to do things that reaches the inmates particularly.
That's right.
They themselves.
Mm.
So that when they come out, they can pick up their life.
Something,
they can still
they can hold on to something once they come
something.
Out.
So
they don't come out and start afresh from the beginning.
Afresh from the
they
beginning.
Have something to hold on to and start from.
Yes. And and there's something I used to say, that we as humans, we have to survive. That's the truth.
That's right.
We just have to survive.
The survivor instinct is always there.
It's always there. So when they come out of the prison, even if the person has made up his mind that, okay, I want to change, I want to turn a new leaf, I want to come out and be a better person, and then the person is out, and people are walking by and pointing to him as, and even if he's discharged and acquitted, many
yeah.
persons don't even know the difference between convicted,
mm-hmm.
discharged and acquitted.
There
they don't
go.
Even know all of that.
There you go.
You know, and they're pointing to him. Elewon, permit me to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's okay.
Elewon, hope you had the Latin one. I don't even understand what I'm
yeah.
saying. And
it's quite
you know,
discriminatory.
It's highly stigmatizing. You know, I was, and another thing that inspired me to go on this journey is actually, is also Abdul's matter.
Okay.
We handled Abdul's matter in 2014. That was when we picked up the matter.
Okay.
Not as CELSA, actually as with an NGO where I was working with prior to that time.
Okay.
And we handled Abdul's matter, and I was shocked the day Abdul told me that he was in 300 level criminology in prison. I think I went home and I couldn't wrap my head around it because
okay.
300 level criminology. Like, how do you manage to, how on earth do you manage to do that?
Yeah.
And this is someone who was actually facing a murder charge. That's like a capital.
Let me speak with Abdul on that.
Abdul
can tell his story. Abdul, how are you once again? Thank you so much for being brave, because what you're about to do is quite brave. A lot of people will not have the stomach for what you're about to do, to tell your story. Tell me, how did it all start? What happened?
It started by we were having an issue,
okay,
a polygamous home. So
okay,
I was being alleged unlawfully, wrongly, that my younger one who died.
Okay.
And they said, I was alleged wrongfully.
Okay.
So the next thing I found,
you were accused of killing your younger one.
Younger one. Mm. So the next thing I just find myself at Banti.
Okay.
So when we got to Banti, not knowing that there was a target for them, they were actually asking me after what was not does not belong to them.
Hmm.
So, and I told them to go and meet the lawyer who is in charge.
Okay.
So the next thing, I was unable to see them, so they just left.
Hmm.
So the next thing, I find myself in the prison.
In the prison,
yes.
Straight.
So when I got there, the trauma started. Mm. I was just like, why will I be here wrongfully? And it all started like that. For over 6 months, I was just nursing this trauma.
Mm.
So I just picked myself one day and tell myself, what will you do to yourself? Stick to God. And immediately I stick to God, I just ask God to just intervene.
You were in prison for how many years?
For 6 years, 8 months, close to 7 years.
Were you going to court from prisons then?
Yes, but before I started court, it took me 2 years.
Just being in prison?
Yes.
Without your case even start at
in
all?
In confinement.
You were there?
Yeah. So I was there. I wasn't going to court. So we were waiting for DPP then.
That's the Department of Public Prosecution?
Yes. So immediately it came out, they started taking me to court. But sometimes the adjournment queues.
I know.
So immediately I picked myself up. I don't want anybody to disappoint me. I just tell myself that nobody can help.
Wait, let me get you clearly.
Okay.
You encouraged yourself.
Yes. I was motivated by so many things.
Okay.
Really, I've read several books before having that case.
Okay.
I was a student of Accord.
Okay.
I did NC there. So before I had my program, and I was in 300 level doing administration management at UNAD.
Okay.
So before I had that problem. So immediately I entered, I started encouraging myself, telling myself that you can do it. According to some scriptures that says, just don't get saddened. Keep on striving. You are going to be victorious if you believe. So immediately I just remember that thought. I keep on striving.
When you were discharged and acquitted of the murder charge,
okay,
how did it feel like?
It was amazing. I wasn't even expecting it like that.
Hmm.
I was expecting it like it should have been before that actual day.
Hmm.
But when God have it, that day I was very happy.
Hmm.
I just took it as normal human being. So I believe I can still do something with my life. So
you went back to school in prison.
Yes.
So you were studying criminology in prison.
Yes. I did GCE there.
Oh.
I even tried it 3 times for making it, because there was no book for us to use. We do lend book from people. If you don't lend book, you buy. And if you buy, sometimes you might not even find one book for you to practice.
Oh my.
Or to learn. So we are having these difficulties. Even to take your bath is another one. So sometimes we struggle to take our bath. Sometimes they just open you for 1 hour for you to go from your room to the well. Then we're not having this tank.
Okay.
So
the reservoir. Okay.
There's no reservoir.
Okay.
There's no water. So we do take this struggle. We just struggle down to the well. Sometimes you might not even see water to talk about. Mm. And in the morning you want to go for class.
All of these things affected your study. So that's why you had to take the GCE three times.
Three times. There was a lot of challenges.
How were you able to pay for your university studies?
It was a scholarship. We did exam and I was one of those students who was picked.
Fantastic. And, Abdul, I'm gonna talk to you more about your journeys in the university in a moment, but I need to prepare for a quick break. Lagos, Nigeria, you can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. Nigeria Info 99.3. Jockey and Abdul here with me in the studio, and we're discussing rehabilitation, inmate rehabilitation. When we return after this break, I'll talk to Abdul more about his experience while going to the university and studying, how it's been easy or hard for him. And then what he faced when he left the prisons. Was he discriminated against? Is he still being discriminated against? Stigmatized in society. We're right back in a moment. Stay here on Nigeria Info. It's a morning crossfire. Reaching you from Etemi and Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri. Thank you for a minute with us. We're live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. My telephone line will open, and I'd like to hear from ex-inmates, ex-convicts who are out already right now. I'd like to hear more of your story. If you'd like to share your story with me in 3 minutes, please, I will give you as much as 3 minutes. You know me. You can only get 60 seconds with me. But for this particular edition of the show, I'd like to hear your story for 3 minutes. If you can put everything in 3 minutes, please do that. If you also like to, just share your thoughts generally on what we've been talking about today, feel free to do that as well. The telephone lines are 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. And for the ladies, the number the ladies can call is 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190 for the ladies only. I have Joke and Abdul here with me. Joke is from Celsa. Abdul is an ex-inmate who has been sharing his story all morning. Before I come back to Abdul, let's hear from Lagos out there. So if you want to remain anonymous, feel free to tell the lady that will pick your call first, to tell the lady that you'd like to be anonymous. That is very, very welcome on the show today. Now let's get to the phone line. Abiodun is joining us right now. Abiodun, hi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Morning to you.
I would have to say I'm somewhat touched by the topic you brought up this morning.
Okay.
As a Nigerian, to even navigate to everyday struggle is a problem.
Mm.
Not to talk of an inmate.
Mm. Mm.
I really felt for the guy. I hope people can just, maybe as in our general attitude need to change as a Nigerian.
Okay.
Like we need to just absorb people for what they are.
Mm. Mm.
Even like, the reason why I said most people cannot show up for COVID-19 tests, even if they are tested positive, the stigma that comes with it is even something.
The stigma, right?
Yeah. Not from COVID, COVID positive, all those kind of stuff. I think Nigeria need to just, we need to think beyond that. It has happened. These people are trying to change.
Mm.
And once you get that the statistics that 6 out of 10 people still go back to commit the same crime, probably fall into
They find themselves shocking. Back in prisons.
True, back in prison. Somehow shocking. Like those that also have been rehabilitated, I probably be a better person. Since I'm still vulnerable to sin. Probably when they came back, people chased them away.
Mm.
And since you must find a way to survive, it's a way to eat.
Mm.
Definitely, you are bound to. So I hope things change for the better. Yeah, did a good job.
All right. Thank you, Abiodun, for calling me. I appreciate it. I really do. Don't forget that at 8:55, we're playing Just a Minute. That's our game show where we try to give someone 10,000 naira. We have an anonymous caller calling us right now. Let's speak with the anonymous caller. Hi, anonymous. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, you're talking about the incarceration, right?
That's right.
Well, I've been incarcerated, but not in Nigeria. Okay. Actually in America.
Okay.
So I can only speak for the experience of people that have been
That's fine.
Definitely you get stigmatized, but a lot of times it depends on the kind of work it is, and it depends on why you were incarcerated for. So if it's like a white-collar crime, obviously you can't get a job working in a bank or wherever. And obviously, and if it's something violent, it's something that you would definitely be stigmatized for the rest of your life. So the bottom line is like it definitely depends on what you're incarcerated for.
Right.
Obviously, if you're incarcerated for beating your wife or domestic violence, then if somebody has given you a job is actually a lady, she will stigmatize you on what you did.
Of course.
So what matters is what you did, and the rehabilitation part. I can't speak on that because people will be who they are, wherever they're incarcerated for.
Okay.
I mean, people make mistakes, and
that's right. You know. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I really do appreciate it. 8:43. Let's see who else we got here before we go back to my guest. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
That stigma is very, very, very strong. It will demoralize your kind.
The stigma.
I was in the Nigeria Navy, my brother.
Okay.
So on my way from Bantia to Apapa Base, so I was just hearing shooting around 1983 or 84. So the policeman just rounded me up, about five of us, along that Ijora Rail. That is the easiest way to follow to our base there.
Okay.
So when they rounded up us, they took us to Ijora Ogunlegba Police Station and all that. We were there, my brother. So the many poor Navy man, their friends had come to bring them up. I was only left with that itself. They did not send to the nearest base. We were there, my brother, for more than 3 weeks. As they took us to court, nobody to bail me, nobody to come. Because I was in uniform, my brother. I was in uniform.
You were even in uniform?
I'm a Nigerian Navy. If you want me to tell you my name, I will tell.
And
just cover that name.
And
I was in uniform. So they took us down there. We were there, and they did not contact our nearest base.
The base.
From there, I was taken to court. And what they arrested us for? They said they were firing, and they saw some people carrying generator. Why didn't we aid them and take them? That is the reason why we were arrested.
Wait.
Somebody without anything in hand then. The LA in the morning, no. Where those, they, if you go to Jorama, you will see that Bustaman are very close to our base there. You see, the road is closed at around 5:30 or 6. So
what happened? Now, what happened? Let's fast forward.
My brother, when I was taken to court, they had to take me right to detention. My brother, I was there for more than 1 month before my sister had from. I used my boot to send message to my senior brother that I used to visit at time in the evening.
Okay.
What do they call it? Near our base there, marriage quarter.
So you hid a message inside a book?
I had to send. Somebody smuggled with my boot. No police went for me to go and contact my nearest base. What have I done? So, that is what I said. I have to say, no, they are taking us from court to cell to what do I call it now for that? Do I know that detention place? So they took us down there. When they took us down there now, nobody can send. I have to remove my boot. My boot in my leg.
Your boots?
Yes, I used it to send message. When I used it to Adebule, to my brother. From there now, my sister happened to her. That was the time they were destroying this thing. They say illegal torture during the Agbon regime at Kano. My sister has to travel down from Kano to Lagos. She said, I stayed with her for more than 5 years. I have never taken anything. Even
how was it resolved? We need to move quickly now. How was it resolved?
My brother, to just cut the matter short, my sister bailed me out.
After spending over a month, Abi?
Yeah, more than 2 months, my brother.
2 months.
So when I came to the base at Apapa, they said they did not know wherever I am then. Then life continued. That stigma that you are talking about,
they
were doing some screening then. I just have to join them. If I happen to be the person who doesn't take courage, I shouldn't have even joined them. So I was sent to school at the Sapele. From there now, I am a thief, retired thief in the Nigerian Navy, engineer, my brother, department. Let me tell you that. So, and I retire. I thank God I retire. If I happen to keep that stigma with me, I shouldn't have even...
So, you were even stigmatized in the Navy. That's what you're saying. In the Navy.
Yes, but I just take courage that we time. I went to recourse.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts, your story with us. We appreciate it. I have calls coming through, but let me just quickly come to Abdul. Abdul, you heard that gentleman's story. Let's talk about your stigmatization story. Were you stigmatized against?
Yeah. Recently, I had an experience with somebody who happened to be a clergy. And I believe you understand, he owns a school.
Okay.
Where I manage.
Okay.
So in that school, he called me. He noticed what I was doing in the correctional center then.
Okay.
So he now noticed and asked me, can you teach for me in my school? I said, why not? I'm a teacher and I love teaching as well. So he now called me. I was there teaching for him. So I noticed something in his dealings with teachers.
Okay.
Teachers have been coming, going. I wonder, when he enrolled me as a teacher, after 3 months, I met some teachers there too.
Okay.
They left. Suddenly, they would just leave. So I was not asking them, what is making you guys to leave? But they wouldn't tell me that I would see for myself. So there was this time, his wife now came into the school and share Sherry. To the student.
Okay.
Immediately he shared the sherry. So I was about to just enter the class and I met her. I said, good morning, ma. I entered my class and I was about to commence the
teaching.
So there was a boy who came inside. So I now called the boy. I want to greet when you come inside the class. Did you say teacher in the class? So I was trying to talk with the boy. The boy has a sister in her class, and the sister said, uncle beat him very well. He does not greet.
Okay.
So I said, no, I won't beat him. I won't take that instruction. I will just tap him. So I now open your hand and I'll tap him. The boy now went. So the woman was in the next class.
Okay.
Sherish. Immediately she just came back and said to me, why will you beat this boy in this class? Why will you beat that boy? Why will you beat? Don't you know that this place is a private school? I said, ma, I know it's a private school, but I think it's not polite why you say this in the class. You ought to have called me outside and tell me
and address
it. Normal, you call me to the staff room and you address it. So she said, no, I should answer a question. I said, ma, you don't have to ask me this kind of question in front of the student.
Okay.
In front of the pupil. The next thing she just did, she said, I'm asking her, I'm telling her or saying something rhetorical that she just answer her question. I said, ma, I can't answer that question, ma. It is supposed to be done in a proper way.
Yeah.
If you want to address that case, call me to the staff room. I would answer that, not in front of him. Because what I'm saying is that she's trying to ridicule me in front of the people.
Right.
And you are putting me here, telling me this kind of thing in front of the people. That means the next thing I just said, you are crazy. You're mad. Why will you be doing that? I said, ma, I'm mad. Okay. And I now told her back, my father's name is Mad. The next thing, she just take it personal. say, oh, that be ibi to tin bon yen, oh, ni sense. And I that was
referring to you referring as an inmate.
So I was just like, so I just kept quiet immediately when she
How did you feel when she said that?
I felt bad. Like, she is called an Elijah. And you ought to understand the fact that she heard my story. And it seemed like we've even discussed a little bit. That was when I now really remember, what is it called? Remember, sometimes if you're having a friend, watch what you tell them. Because they will let her use that thing against you. That was when I remember something like that. So she's using it against me. So
it's really
even the husband pathetic. Even came and later on, the husband was now referring to such thing again, the same thing again. Like, I was not like, am I really okay? Am I?
Do you have a problem?
Did I have a problem? So
they made you question yourself.
Question myself.
Doubt yourself.
Doubt myself. So immediately I just calmed myself down. 2 days after, 3 days after, I just told them, I'm not.
You just resigned.
I just resigned. And I left. So he was trying to call me back. I said no. I won't be there. You'll be ridiculing me, and you'll be stigmatizing me as well. No.
Joker, we must.
Abdul
and Joker, we must go now. But Joker, you mentioned earlier that your organization is trying to get inmates educated, and you're calling for people with books who have used books or new books to donate them. How can they reach out to you?
Okay, they can actually reach out via any of our social media platform, which is on Instagram. It's Celsa _. That's CELSIR _.
Okay.
And on Twitter is Celsa.org, CELSIR.org. Or you can also call 080-3840-5199. 080-3840-5199. Thank you.
Jacquet from Celsa, thank you so much for coming around. Thank you. Appreciate it. Abdul, thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, Lagos, Nigeria, we have to go now. Many thanks to you all for being a part of the Morning Crossfire. I am Sherif Quadri. I'm on Twitter at Sherif Quadri, on Instagram at Sherif Quadri, and on LinkedIn at Sherif Quadri. Let's connect. Come on, let's connect. Let's talk. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Daily Digest, Diabumi Edition, is next with Jimmy Disu. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.